Hello, everyone, and welcome to another recap race analysis here on the Cycling Dane Extra channel, or if you're listening to the podcast version as well on the different platforms. Today, we're talking about the Giro d'Italia Stage 9, which was a time trial, the second one of the Giro, and it produced some very exciting results. Today, I'm joined by Patrick, creator and owner of Aldo Cycling, and also one third of the Echelon Cycling podcast. And I mean, Patrick, that was quite an interesting time trial that we didn't expect. That what happened? Yeah, what exactly happened as well?
As time trials go, it was quite an exciting one. It was a wet one too, so that certainly led to some kind of trepidatious people going around. And you know, there were some fastish times at the start by guys like Hepburn and Sutherland and stuff. But it was ultimately going to be the GC riders at the end who really put in the fast times. We did have a very fast duo from Groupama FDJ in Stefan Kung and Bruno Amaral, who really kind of set the timesheet alight and put a lot of distance between them and anybody else who'd gone previously. But then the riders like your Evenepoels and your Rogliches and Geraint Thomas and Teo Gegenhardt, they all started, and the timesheet just started to crumble. It went down so quickly to a point where, you know, Ineos ended up with so many riders within the top 10, more than anybody else. Evenepoel at one point was putting something near 30 seconds into Roglic of a start, so there was just so much going on in terms of GC and calculating who'd lost what time to who. But eventually, when the dust settled after it all, it was Remco Evenepoel who took the victory by just a solitary second to Geraint Thomas, who was so close to winning his first Grand Tour stage since 2018. When he won his first Tour de France. That was 5 years ago, when you think about it. That's a long time. But yes, Geraint Thomas was in second place. Teo Gegenhardt was in third place. So a really good day for the Ineos Grenadiers. Stefan Kung was in fourth place, and Bruno Amaral was in fifth place. And then we had other riders like Alexander Vlasov, Damiano Caruso, João Almeida, all rounding out the top 10 with a Rensman. And of course, Primoz Roglic finished in sixth place as well. But Roglic did lose 17 seconds to Evenepoel. So there were time gap, they weren't massive. So GC is all certainly still to play for, but there is sort of a revised GC standing at the end of today.
But yeah, Remco Evenepoel winning, kind of fading at the end of it and almost losing out to Geraint Thomas, as you said. But yeah, wasn't it startling how he dipped in form, that he kind of had that advantage? It's good in a way, because we were expecting at the beginning of the day that he was going to take like a minute, 2 minutes out of everyone. And then in the end, it's only a handful of seconds. And he only leads by 45 seconds down to Geraint Thomas. And he's only leading 47 seconds down to Primoz Roglic. So it's not even a minute now. That's not a lot of an advantage to take into the big mountains.
No, it's not really. But it is still a minute, and that's still a good chunk of time. But like you say, he would probably be hoping to take more time out of people, whether those crashes are hindering him or the accumulated fatigue. You know, we're on stage 9 now, and it's been a lot of long, cold and hard days. Lots of attritional sort of racing. So maybe Evenepoel's just suffering towards the end of this first week, and perhaps a rest day tomorrow, along with a couple of easier days. You know, they're not mountainous. There's going to be a couple of sprints and stuff. Maybe Evenepoel might be able to recuperate over the next few days and really rally towards a strong final week. But it was a little bit concerning that he didn't put a lot of time into people in a way. I think we were, like you said, all expecting a big time gap of at least a minute. So the fact that it wasn't there indicates that perhaps something wasn't quite going correct today with Remco. But at the end of the day, he did still win the stage, so it's another Giro d'Italia stage to his palmares. But it was won by the smallest of margins to Ineos, who were flying today.
I mean, does this change the GC battle scenario potentially? Now, Sudal Quickstep, we were talking that we kind of had a few concerns about their team. He was isolated on stage 8 quite quickly. Now with Ineos Grenadiers so close to the Maglia Rosa here, with two potential cards and Roglic as well, could this become a very aggressive second week for the Giro d'Italia?
I think it will be, especially from the Ineos Grenadiers. They'll be sensing blood here, because I think they have the momentum at the moment. I think Remco has just been, I don't know, caught off guard a little bit. You know, things just aren't quite clicking. And, you know, Roglic is looking good, but Ineos have that numerical advantage in having both Geraint Thomas and Teo Gegenhardt, and arguably one of the strongest teams, because Laurens de Plus and Pavel Sivakov are also looking exceptional at the moment. So I'd say that Ineos at the moment have the strongest team, and that really means a lot going into hard mountainous terrain, because it means that you are essentially the ones who can get to dictate the way that the stage plays out, because you can say, we're going to go hard here and then easier here. So you can really kind of set out to punish the other GC riders, especially since Roglic and Remco, like you say, maybe their teams aren't as strong respectively to what Ineos Grenadiers. So I reckon Ineos, although yes, they didn't win the stage today, I think they can take a lot of positivity out of today. I think they have their heads held high going into this first rest day and really start to plan how they're going to tackle these last kind of 10 days or so.
Primoz Roglic, well, he is the Olympic champion in the time trial. He was a bit disappointed with the time trial on the first stage, but he can't be too unhappy about this scenario. I mean, he's the more aggressive rider, you would say. Is he able to drop Remco Evenepoel like he did yesterday, potentially on the bigger mountains? That's a big question mark as well. It's probably the Jumbo-Visma Ineos Grenadiers, some sort of collaboration going on here against Remco. Potentially, we are on the verge of witnessing, do you think?
Yeah, I think it's possible because, like you say, Remco lost, what was it, just under 20 seconds yesterday on a short climb. And the fact of the matter is, he has, what was it, 47 seconds on Roglic. So it's not that far-fetched to think that if Roglic does something similar but on a longer mountain, then Remco could lose to Maya Rosa in a stage if things don't go correctly. So I think Quickstep might be quaking in their boots a little bit going into this final week and thinking, well, actually we don't have the buffer that we want on our competitors, and our team is looking a little bit weaker. Our riders are dropping a bit sooner than we'd like, and maybe they're gonna have to reevaluate and think about how they're going to manage this Maya Rosa lead, because at the end of the day, yeah, Remco's in the Maya Rosa, which is great, but he's always going to be looking over his shoulder and wondering where the next attacks are going to be coming from.
I mean, one rider who might not be too happy about today's stage, João Almeida. He's hunting that podium position that he still hasn't had. One of the most consistent riders in the last three Giro d'Italia editions. Last year, he probably would have finished on the podium if it wasn't for COVID. But today, not the best time trial from his account. 1 minute and 7 seconds down right now in the GC. Fifth overall, he's 20 seconds down on the third place, and yeah, unfortunately his visor broke as well. That was quite a strange scenario there. But yeah, João Almeida, how do you see his chances? He has, we think, the full command of his UAE Team Emirates team, so could he potentially sneak his way on the podium anymore, or is this UAE Team Emirates, this Ineos Grenadiers duo and Roglic too strong for him?
It rings that way to me that they are just kind of a bit stronger than him. But saying that, Zhao is really good at the final week with the long climbs. It really suits his mono kind of tone, just kind of chug, chug, chug away at the climbs. It's more suited to him than more staccato, aggressive kind of racing. I think that the final week does suit him a bit more. Will it be a matter of him attacking? I'm not really too sure. I think it'll just be a matter of he'll wait and see if maybe one of the Ineos Grenadiers riders falls into a domestique role. Then he could sneak past them and maybe hope that either Remco or Roglic cracks enough that he can slip past them as well. But I think that Zhao will just be now be kind of lying in the wings and waiting for something to happen.
Well, we can't not finish with the Maglia Rosa going into this. Andreas Letnessen, the Tromsø rider, the Norwegian rider in history, has worn the Maglia Rosa for the longest time now, but ultimately today was the last day. And yeah, fifth place, kind of the well, same time as João Almeida right now, the DSM rider. And what do you think Andreas Letnessen is going to be able to do in this year's Giro d'Italia? Do you think he's going to be able to hang on to a top 10 place, or is it going to be a bit too far out?
I think it might be a bit too far out, but there are some stages which do still suit him, like stage 11 and 12 would be quite good for him. Maybe stage 13, stage 15, maybe not like the high mountain stuff, but there's still a handful of stages left which suit him. So I reckon that if he can recover well enough over this rest period, like this rest day, I reckon we could see him going again, especially in the next week or so, the next five stages. I think we'll see Leknessen doing a bit more. So we haven't seen the end of the ex Maya Rosa. I think he'll be ashamed to not see anything more of him because he's been a real good character to have and a good neutral for the cycling fans to gather around.
Yeah, a new star in the making, a bit similar to Odd Christian Eichen as well, his stint in the red jersey in the Welter. But nevertheless, that's it for our Stage 9 race recap analysis here on the Cycling Day and Extra channel. Make sure to check out Patrick's channel, Our New Cycling. It's down in the description down below. And of course, on the rest day on Monday, we're going to be doing our Echelon Cycling Podcast episode 16. So join us for that as well. And we will, of course, be joined by Ewan as well. So that's all exciting stuff still to come, and make sure to hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and of course, as always, thank you for watching and have a nice day.